It's good to be here with you this morning. I wish it could be under happier circumstances. We're praying for Pastor Yeo and for his family right now. I think before I actually get started, I'd like to call, I think Simon and Bertha are going to do the scripture reading today. Is that right, Mr. Simon? Okay, so I'll do the scripture reading and then we'll get started. Thank you so much.
I'd like to read from Acts, Acts 1, verse 1 to 11. And this is about Jesus being taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Thank you. So today we are starting a new series in the book of Acts, and I'm glad you're here with me, whether in person or via Skype. So thank you for joining us. The book of Acts is a very important book in the Christian faith. You can see on the logo, it's Mission Impossible with the IM in parentheses or brackets. And the reason for that is because the book of Acts, if you look at what happens through it, if you look at it through human eyes, we would say, that's impossible. Nothing like that could ever happen. Over 3,000 people coming to faith in a day, I don't think so. People coming together from all different nations and the speakers speaking one language and they all hearing in their own language, that's not possible. And you might look at it and say, Jesus took these fishermen, these common people, and they did this movement that led to thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to faith. That's not possible. And so if we look at it through human eyes, the book of Acts is full of stories that could never really happen. But you know, if we look at it through Christian eyes and through spiritual eyes, we see that in the beginning of chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples and they work through the Holy Spirit throughout the rest of the book. And with the Holy Spirit, it is very possible, all the things that happened here. And I'd like to tell you in your own life, like what Dale said earlier today, that if you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, you can see things happen that through the world's eyes would be impossible. And if you let the Holy Spirit work in you, you can do things in Christ that are totally possible with the Spirit, but impossible without the Spirit. And as Christians, that's what we ought to work toward, is to do things that are that only God can give us power to do. And so, before we actually get into the book, let's talk a little bit about the person that God used to write the book. Luke was the author of the book. So who was Luke? Luke was one of the disciples of Christ. Luke was a doctor, actually, is what we know of. And most of the pictures of Luke that have been rendered, he's using a writing utensil either on a book or in a scroll. We don't really know what he looked like. Probably not like any of these pictures that are up on the screen. But we know that he wrote a lot. He wrote the book of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts, and they're two of the longest books in the New Testament. And he was a doctor, and so he paid special attention to details. And you can see this if you read the Gospel of Luke compared with the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Luke has a whole lot more details in it than the other two do. That's why it's a bit longer than the other two. And then it's also apparent in the book of Acts that he gave up his profession for several years, or at least took it on the road for several years to travel with Paul. Because as we go through the book of Acts, you'll see that toward the latter half of the book of Acts, you see Paul's missionary journeys. And Luke's writing those from a first person, you know, we were all there together. And so Luke traveled with Paul on these journeys, possibly served as a doctor there in the group, but definitely didn't have a practice in Jerusalem that he was maintaining at the time. And so it was important to him that he come with Paul on his journeys and record the stories that we have in the book of Acts. It was important that God led him to do that. And it's very helpful to us Christians that he did do that, because as you'll see, the book of Acts is a very helpful book for Christianity. And I'll talk about why in just a few minutes. So let's get into the book of Acts. He starts off saying, in my former book, Theophilus, his former book was the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. And so he writes to Theophilus, and I think it's important that we know who Theophilus is. And actually, we don't know who Theophilus is. There's many theories about Theophilus and who this guy is. His name, if you translate it from Greek, means loved by God or friend of God. And so a lot of people over the years have thought that the books Luke and Acts were written to the church in general, you know, the friends of God. But also in history, there are a number of historical characters in that time period named Theophilus, from high priest to high Roman people high in the Roman guard. And so it's possible he was writing to one of those people as well. So it doesn't actually matter so much who Theophilus is, but what matters is why Luke was writing these things to Theophilus. And if you go back to Luke chapter 1, he explains kind of why he writes these books to Theophilus. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from whom first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And so Theophilus was this man or this group of believers who had been taught the things of Christ, but maybe they weren't so sure about the things of Christ. Maybe they weren't so sure about what they've been taught. And so Luke said, I've devoted a lot of time and a lot of effort to investigate everything from the very beginning, and I've written it all down so that you may know and that you may have certainty of the things that you've been taught. And so Luke wrote this book wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts so that we could have certainty of the things that happened in that time period. Luke was an acknowledged historian in the time, and so we can know that Luke did his homework, so to say, and because Luke did his homework, and because the Holy Spirit guided him and directed him, we can know that we can trust this book of Acts, that he wrote it faithfully according to his research and according to the Spirit that worked in him. So Luke wanted to write an orderly account of everything that happened, and we have, as a result, the book of Luke and Acts that tells us nearly 2,000 years later what all happened in this time period. And so what can we expect to find in the book of Acts? What are some of the main messages, main points, or main themes in the book of Acts? I've got a study Bible at home that's David Jeremiah's study Bible, and he kind of laid this out very nicely. So I took this from him. Don't think it's original with me. But it builds up, the book builds a bridge between the life of Christ and the life of the church. It builds, because if you could imagine, if we had the four Gospels, and then we had Romans through the end, we might have some questions about how did we get from Christ here to this message here, and why is it laid out this way? And the book of Acts really fills in a lot of those questions. It tells us how the gospel spread from Jerusalem and Judea to the rest of the world. So one of the themes that runs throughout it, though, is the theme of apologetics. Throughout the book of Acts, we see the defending of the Christian faith. We see Paul speaking with Gentiles. We see Paul speaking with Jewish people. We see Peter speaking with Jewish people and Peter speaking with Gentiles. And if you follow through the book of Acts, it shows how we can share our faith with people who grew up in a culture similar to ours, but it also shows how we can share our faith with people who grew up in a very different culture than ours, and how we can share our faith with people who grew up in our culture but are adopting a whole new different culture, which is what's happening a lot in the world today, especially in the Western world. And you actually see different stories in the book of Acts that I won't go into because today we're introducing and going through the first 11 verses, but that texts that are in the book of Acts that are still used in missions classes today to teach people how to share Christ with those of a different culture. And it's some very exciting things and very interesting things. And so apologetics was a big theme in the book of Acts. Also, the Holy Spirit is a major theme in the book of Acts. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no book of Acts. There would probably be no rest of the Bible if the Holy Spirit didn't come. Because as we know, the writers of the New Testament were inspired by the Holy Spirit. This book is called, throughout history, the Acts of the Apostles. It very well could have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you will see, actually, let's read Acts 1:3-5. Luke's still talking to Theophilus. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself, this is Christ, to them, and made many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So in the next few weeks, you'll see how the Holy Spirit first descends on the believers. And throughout the book of Acts, you'll see how the Holy Spirit works through the believers to do things that are impossible from the world's point of view. The third thing that runs throughout the book of Acts is expansion. And so we see the main point of our text today is kind of deals with this expansion. We see the gospel spread all over the world. All over the world through the book of Acts. And in verses 6-8, Jesus kind of tells the disciples how this is going to happen. Verse 6 says, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" And the disciples still didn't understand exactly what the goal of Christ was, exactly what his mission was. They thought that he was going to come and take over the kingdom, restore the kingdom to Israel, and give Israel earthly power again. What's very interesting, though, is that after the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2, you never hear the disciples say another word about the kingdom of Israel. And I think that's because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they knew then, they understood Jesus' plan and understood his mission. So he says to them, verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So you have this map up here. You can see Jerusalem there kind of toward the middle. That's the city they were in. Then Judea is kind of the bigger province, maybe? Maybe a state? No, province, okay. Was the province of Judea, and then above Judea you see Samaria. And so the idea is that the gospel was going to spread from Jerusalem, where they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit, into the rest of Judea, and then into Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. That's everything outside of there at the known time. And so, and you see that laid out through the book of Acts. You see the apostles in Jerusalem. You see where Pentecost happens and 3,000 people come to faith. You see some of those first believers who came to faith were from different regions, and so they spread back out to their regions, and the gospel spread to those regions. You see in Samaria, the land bordering Judea, Acts 8 opens up by saying that after the stoning of Stephen, which happened in Acts chapter 7, great persecution came about, and there arose against the church at Jerusalem great persecution, and they were scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. And so you see this happen. You see persecution drive people into other parts of the world. And then you see the ends of the earth when Paul, in his missionary journeys, he has three missionary journeys, he travels to places that had previously not heard of Christ, and travels to the ends of the earth. And so we see this pattern in the book of Acts. We see Jerusalem and Samaria, the ends of the earth, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And this this pattern, it's interesting to note that this pattern was not prescribed by Jesus. It was described by Jesus. And this is what I mean. Jesus didn't say, "You guys need to go to Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." He said, "You will go. You will be my witnesses." And this is the thing. Today, well, at that time even, Jesus knew that once the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would automatically and without prompting share the gospel with people all around them. And they would automatically and without prompting have a desire in their hearts to get the gospel to where it hasn't been before. And you see, Paul, when you study the life of Paul, he had a burning inside him to carry the gospel where it had not been carried before. And this burning was not because someone, because Jesus told him or because the church told him, "You need to go to this place and that place and that place." Now, this burning came from the Holy Spirit and came from the works of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so I would challenge you today to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live your life in such a way that it just spills over into every aspect of your life. That the love of Christ spills over and the words of Christ spill over into everybody you're around. And as you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, or as the Holy Spirit fills you, as the Holy Spirit fills you, you will see God do amazing things through you. So we see this picture of expansion throughout the book of Acts. And I believe that God still uses this expansion in the world today. I believe that God still sends people out into the world through His Holy Spirit. Here at Nelson Avenue, you have a culture of missions and a culture of sending people out. You have people around the world right now doing ministry for Christ. You send trips every year to people around the world, and you take mission trips, and you pray for the world. But I'd encourage you to continue doing that, to continue having a mind to send people out, to send people to, you know, greater BC or Canada or down in America. You know, they need Jesus. I'm one of them. So, but continue to send people around the world for His glory. And you know, in this area, in Burnaby, Vancouver, God has brought the nations to us as well. You don't have to look any further than our church here. That there are many, I don't have any idea how many nations are represented at Nelson Avenue, but there are lots. You can go to Metrotown Mall and walk around and see the nations. And so I'd challenge you to share Christ with the nations here around you in your life. God doesn't call everyone to go live overseas, but God has placed each of you in a strategic place to reach the nations. And so I challenge you to keep your eyes open, be full of the Holy Spirit. And in the next few weeks, I think we'll talk more about that, and we'll see how God uses the apostles and uses Paul in his journeys to reach the nations. But a fourth theme in the book of Acts is transparency. So if you think, you know, a lot of people look at the Bible and they say, you know, it's got issues, it's not real, it can't be true, this and that. And I would guarantee that if I were writing a book about my religion and I wanted to kind of make the world love it, I wouldn't put stories about Ananias and Sapphira, you know, stealing money from the church. I wouldn't put stories about, you know, the widows bickering over bread and being arguing with each other. And I definitely wouldn't put stories about Paul and Barnabas fighting with each other and saying, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing, we're going to split. And the book of Acts says there arose such a great disagreement between Paul and Barnabas that they split ways and went. And I'd say, you know, that doesn't show the Holy Spirit working. Let's leave that part out, you know. But Luke doesn't do that. He's very transparent. He shows some of the issues that happened in the early church. And, you know, as Christians, we ought to be transparent as well. You know, we live according to the Holy Spirit, but the book of Acts shows that even in the midst of struggles and conflicts, if we live with the Holy Spirit, we can still glorify God in the church, and we can still advance His kingdom around the world. And so, as you live your life, let's not pretend like we're all perfect, because we know we're not. I'm not. I don't think any of you are. But let's live transparently, but live full of the Holy Spirit so that people see us and know that we glorify God and that people are drawn to us and know that we glorify God. Let's look at the end of the passage. It says, after this, he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud and hid from their sight. So you've all seen this picture, this painting, and it's kind of they're saying what's going on, you know. Jesus told them, you know, a lot of times throughout the Gospels that I'm going to be taken up to Christ. But it says they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And you could imagine them standing there looking up in the sky going, huh, what do we do now? You coming back soon? I don't know. And so, because you got to remember, they weren't full of the Holy Spirit yet. They're looking up in the sky, so two men dressed in white, probably angels, showed up and stood beside him and said, men, Men of, I lost my place, Galilee, it's down here. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so he said, the angels told them, you know, just do what he said. He's going to come back and you be ready for that day. I want to ask you, are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day when Christ comes back? Because he's still coming. And you see, after verse 11, it says they returned to Jerusalem and they went back to wait like Christ told them to. And in the beginning of chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit fall. And it's an amazing thing when the Holy Spirit fell. These men who had no clue what they were doing, had no clue about Jesus, what he was, what his goal was, what his mission was. He went up to heaven and they stand there saying, well, isn't he going to, you know, take over sometime and this and that? But then the angel, the Holy Spirit falls in Acts chapter 2, and amazing things start to happen. So I would challenge you today, let's live a life filled with the Spirit. And let's live looking forward to that day when Christ comes back. Let's live every day as if it could be today. And let's be filled with the Spirit, and let's live our lives in such a way that the people around us that are non-believers glorify God because they see the way we live.